come. Anybody want to follow him? Just lift your hand in surrender. I just want to follow. Satan's Eden, this cosmos that we walk in, full of sneers and pitfalls, and how thankful we are that we have that heavenly dove to be our guide today. We know and we are persuaded he will lead us in the bloody footprints. He will keep us in this path. He never leaves that word. He's a trusted one. He's one that will stay with that word. That's the assurance, that's the consolation that we have. As you look to him in prayer today, counting it such a blessed privilege to be in his house, even to bring our requests before his great throne of grace, knowing that as we come, we can come with expectations, because he says, come with boldness, you shall obtain mercy, you shall find grace to help you. May that dove lead us into that grace today, in this time of need. It is with quickening power, this blessed Holy Spirit, quicken our hearts and minds, move us into such a channel where our faith can take a grip on these things. We'll apprehend it and not let it go, like Sarah fights in Dunamis, knowing that he is faithful who promised. Father, we bow our hearts in your great August presence. We consider it a blessed privilege, dear God, to have this opportunity to come and assemble ourselves in your divine presence today, knowing, dear God, that this is what your plan for your children, and even much more as we see the day approaching. And we thank you for our message that has come and has awakened us, dear God, out of our sleep, giving us understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Oh God, that we can prepare in this great hour. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and a bride hath made herself ready. Oh God, and the Bible says, they who are ready went in with the bridegroom. And Father God, we are so thankful, dear God, that you have opened up these great divine treasures, that we can know how to prepare in this great hour that we live in. We are asking today, Father, Lord, as we assemble ourselves in your presence, that, dear God, you will move our hearts and minds, Lord, under the divine influence, into that channel where the Spirit of the living God can minister unto us these great spiritual blessings, these exceedingly great and precious promises that you have blessed us with in Christ Jesus. That, dear God, we can receive the portion that is due unto us. That, dear God, we might walk and fulfill all the will of God that is required of us in this hour. This is the desire of our hearts, Father, to do thy will, knowing that it be coming unto us to fulfill all righteousness. Lord God, we are persuaded that you're a covenant-keeping God. You're a God who keeps your promises, Father. That, dear God, regardless, come what may, O God, what we have to face with. Lord God, we are not babies anymore. We know we have to be tested. We have to be tried. Lord God, that you might put on display in this wicked hour that we live in, dear God, that there's a people that will obey you, that will stand by your word, a people who will put you first, Father, a people, oh God, who will be a very victory, a people who we can vindicate and confirm that this Bible is true, that these divine promises are real, and that you alone are the one true and living God. We recognize that's a great responsibility, Father, and so, dear God, as we stand, Lord God, we ask you forgive us all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all of our mistakes, all of our failures, dear God. May you blot all of our transgressions, and may the Spirit of the living God, Lord God, come to open up and inspire us, Lord, with these divine truths, that we might be edified, that we might be rooted and established, O God, in all the perfect will of God. That, Father, we might know the carry of your word. We might know to represent you, dear God. We might know, dear God, Father, that, Lord, how to fulfill these things, Father. That, Lord, as we live under your leadership, realizing it's not by might or by power, but it's by your Spirit, said the Lord. And, Lord God, we know that's the secret of the message. That's the secret of this hour, to do the Father's business, to fulfill the word. Knowing that they come at us, Lord, to fulfill all righteousness. May you bless your children today. May, oh God, you give us the strength that we have need of as parents, as fathers and mothers, as husbands and wives, as young men and young women, oh God, Father, believers, as representatives of Jesus Christ in this hour. Call unto this great holy calling, dear God. Have your own blessed way. Even the strangers, the visitors within our gates, we ask, dear God, that the Holy Spirit will do something special today. You will cause yourself to be seen. You will let your great presence be felt. Lord, you will confirm your word. You will minister to the needy, oh God. You will lift up your children. You will bind up the broken heart. Oh God, whatever your children have need of, as they look to you, believe and expect to receive. Lord, as they pray and confess that you are able to do these things, Father. Oh God, I pray your great grace will be poured out. Knowing many have come from far, many have traveled long distances, make great sacrifices. Many, oh God, Father, I need, Lord. But we know you are the supplier of our every need. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we rejoice to serve a God like you. Oh God, your commandments are not burdensome, they are not grievous, Father. We are so glad that we are your children, oh God. We are so glad that we are the purchase of your blood, oh God. That you loved us with great discipline, love. Oh, Father, have your way, Lord. Remember those in Tobago, in Grenada, Lord, around the world, wherever your children are, wherever your ministers are in their midst, oh God. Minister in the unsearchable riches. May you truly exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask for things. Have your blessed way, Father, and lead us and guide us now into all thou wilt today. We give you thanks, and we ask for all these blessings in the precious, almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise his mighty name. Amen. You happy to be in his house? Amen. God, we should bless you, all of you who have come from far and near and assembled yourselves here today. Pray the Holy Spirit would give to you what your heart is desiring, knowing that sometimes you travel along the road, you come in the house of God. You are praying even while you're coming in the way, Lord, I'm looking for you to meet with me. I'm expecting this. You're a believer. You read the word. You hear it preached. Your faith gets stimulated. Sometimes your quiet times, the Holy Spirit brings back things to your remembrance. You know, it just sets your heart and mind in an attitude. You come to the house of God where prayer is being offered. You sit in His presence. You minister to in song. Amen. You join with the prayers that have been offered as we assemble in this great time. You know that in the end, you look around and see the darkness in the land. You see, amen, the evil in the world today. Something tells you the coming of the Lord is at hand. The time is near. You realize we have received a great light at evening time to guide us out of this world, to get us ready. Amen. To make us ready for the coming of the Lord. You remind yourself we are living in the hour of the coming of the Lord. Amen. And but it's an hour of judgment. It's a dark hour. And so you want to capitalize upon this moment.
You want to break through, you want to press through, you want to get a hold of what God has for you. And remember, sometimes, you know, the devil can even bring you so close, lock you in. Make you see a church, make you see a man, make you see people, and you get right there and you say, our church and where I go and this people and it's something that all that is good, but that's just a stepping stone into the real thing. Amen. The real thing, you're coming to God. You're getting a hold of His Word. And Almighty God who gave His Word, who called you, who has fixed your heart. Amen. Who is here to confirm these promises. Who send a prophet. Who with a fivefold ministry to keep that voice alive. Amen. That God is here. Amen. To make these things real. To confirm and prove these things. And remember, He proved these things by believers. Amen. You have to believe it. You have to confess it. You have to make it yours. You say, mine. Lord, I believe it. Amen. I stand upon it, Lord. I thank you for Father. I thank you for Mother. I thank you for brothers. I thank you for food and clothes. Heaven strength. But Lord, my soul rejoices. I believe your word. I stand upon your word. God looks for conviction. God looks for people who have conviction a little deeper than just, well, you know, I think you could be right. Maybe, who knows? Nobody can be. No, no. God will put a certain of God. God keeps dealing with you until He makes you certain. He can't do nothing hardly with you unless He gets you convinced. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why you don't just wanna, you know, just say, oh, I got a little blessing, let me take off somewhere. No. You say, Lord, fix me, amen. Cut me, amen. Fit me, Lord. Hold me with a firm hand. Cause me to stand, amen. Shine my light bright. That's the way you wanna stand. You think that's right? You think that's the truth? Hold fast the former strong words, amen. That's nothing but the truth. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Amen. You've heard the gospel of your salvation. After you heard it, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After you heard it, after you believed. Not when you believe. You believe it, you have tried, you had to stand upon it, you recognize the truth, you had to go to acting upon it. Then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And when the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, it's not just a good feeling, friend. God walks in your feet, speaks to your lips, speaks with your mind, works with your hands, make you a manifested epistle. That's different from a church member. I believe that. I know that is the truth. Amen. Outside of that, it's not counted. It means nothing. But you get a hold of that, that's a reality. Amen. So we are very happy. Sunday morning is always a nice morning. I'd like to read out the Ephesians again. I've been preaching Ephesians, power, Joshua, sonship, heirship, inheritance. Last week I was speaking on parents in the Ephesians. And I want to take the same title and continue. I put a pause on it last week. We couldn't finish. And we want to express our joy. We even have some of the relatives of believers and some visitors here in the house of God today. God will bless you. If it is your first time, may you feel really welcome. And I pray that you find it a good experience to be here in the house of God. Amen. Praise my name. Our building gets a little hot. Amen. But we don't mind that too much. And I'm sure if you're a real believer, you get under the word, you wouldn't mind that either. Amen. Our service might go a little longer than the Catholic Church. But we don't say a mass, we just try to say what God says. Amen? Amen. So I could give you faith to face the challenge of this hour. Amen. We believe that God wants to give everyone an individual experience, and we pray that that would be the portion of each and every one here today. Ephesians, this great book of the New Testament, that speaks of the believer, the inheritance, how they come into it and be placed in it, how they're going to live in it and be a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, be a perfect man, have all things under their feet. Amen. Engage in a warfare and come out victorious. That's Ephesians. Amen. That's a great time. That's what believers are contending for. Amen. Fathers contend for that this morning. Husbands contend for that this morning. Wives, mothers contend for that this morning. Ministers. Amen. Young men, young women contend for that this morning. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Paul had just come through talking about walking worthy of your vocation, which you are called, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, how there is one body and one Spirit,
Amen. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling into one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father, who is above all and through us all. And now, as he takes that great picture and encompasses a great vision there of the church of God, the body of Christ united to the head, he now breaks down something here in verse 7. You want to look at it. But unto every one of us is given grace. Every one of us that's in this body, that's part of this body, there's a member in this body, under this headship, united with him, who have the Holy Ghost, who is in Christ. Amen. Every one of us is given grace. Given. Something given to you. He said, you have chosen Christ and predestined in another place. It's given to you. Just like Israel was in Egypt, chosen, predestinated. But then you give him a portion in Canaan land, in the Holy Ghost. He's given grace. According to the measure. According to the measure. The measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. It's given up by measure. Every person has the measure. Romans 12 says God tell every man a measure of faith. Every man get a measure of the gift of Christ. God give every man a portion of the Holy Ghost. God give everyone a portion of Canaan land. Amen. He give you a portion for what you're born and called for, what you're placed for. Amen. You're a farmer, he give you good land to plow up and bring for the good crop. You're a fisherman, he give you a good portion of the sea. Give you the mystery of the moon and the tide and how to catch the fish. Amen. You're a dairy man, he give you a good fertile pasture. Give you a good, how to raise your cows and your sheep and your flocks and so on. How to have good milk. Amen. You're a woodsman, he give you a good forest and let you know how to cut it down and how to build houses and so on. See, God deal every man a measure. And your measure have to do with your birth, have to do with your placing, have to do with your calling. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, and that's after he died and rose, he ascended on high. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto them. What was the resurrection for? To show that the sacrifice was accepted so the Holy Ghost could come back to the church. Why did God consume the sacrifice with fire in the Old Testament? To show he accepted it. Why did God raise Jesus Christ? To show he accepted the sacrifice. What was the result of his death and resurrection? The coming of the Holy Spirit. That's the result. We are beneficiaries of the Holy Spirit. Because I live, you shall live also. Amen. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also who ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In chapter 1 it tells you that also. And he gave. Still talking about giving. Give gifts unto men. Give every man a measure. Give gifts. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. God gave these things. No man can be educated in a ministry. No man can be voted for a ministry. They couldn't even impart these things by laying on their hands. That was only a sanction that they recognized that the man was born for that. Is that right? 14 before the foundation, like God told Jeremiah, before he was informed in your mother's womb. Chosen, predestinated unto a placing. He gave some of these things. And teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Is God's saints going to be perfected? Is God's church going to be perfected? Because God ordained his church to be a perfect church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He had to make sure he ordained and give those things to accomplish that. So he gave these gifts for that. Amen? When God says he's going to do something, he'll furnish the means to get it done. Sometimes people only hear what God says he's going to do. But then they fail to see the means he furnishes and how he works through those means to bring about what he said. Amen. That's what the revelation is.
That's why they reject the things most of the time that God sent for the salvation. They rejected the prophets, they stoned them and killed them. They rejected the Messiah, the very thing that God gave in love to help them. Amen? And yet, they were so brass-faced, they went on still looking for the thing. Not knowing they rejected the means that was to bring it about for them. Don't you never make that mistake. You ask God to help you, open your eyes and show you how He's bringing the past, what you pray for, what He promised to give to you. For the work of the ministry. So it's not just for the perfecting of the saints, it's also for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Build it up. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Perfecting of the saints. A perfect man. Catch this again. Unto the measure. Not a measure again. Come back to the same word. A measure. Paul has measure in mind. A portion that is assigned to you by lot. Amen. He's looking at Joshua. He's teaching something here. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What a measure that is. We are going to come to that measure. Because what God gives you must be cultivated, must be developed. God gives you potential, an acorn. But when you finish that, you'll have an oak tree. God gives a man 5 talents, but when he's done, he had to have 10. Because in that 5, if you know they use it, it's going to bring forth more. Is that right? God gives a farmer seed. He said, but seed for the sun, bread to the eater. He said, you won't even have to plant in the 6 or 7 years. You'll build bigger barns and I'll give you increase and you'll rest the land. Is that right? Thank God to start you with something, but then you'll learn to work with the Holy Spirit. Like the woman, she had a little bit of oil in the house. But when she get the teaching, she had enough oil, more than what she started off with. She had vessels and vessels and vessels filled with oil. They could pay off every debt and give her enough to live on the rest. Is that right? Is that the Holy Spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit you're reading about here? That's why Joshua tells you, cut down the trees. Do that. You're great people. Cultivate your land. Develop your land. Turn your... We walk in here and look at the trees. A barren wilderness. Look what it is today. Is that right? See what some labor can do in a measure God deal you? Took 10 years, but look what it is today. Not a wilderness no more. Another wilderness he has transformed by his body. We are his hands, his feet. Amen. That we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro. And carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Men talking all kind of things and say, they talk about this dove and they talk about that and chief authority and all kind of different things. Dying really so and nobody of the Holy Ghost will happen one day. Slight of men, cunning craft, they shake many people's minds. Only children they shake. Tossed to and fro wounds of doctrine. Amen. But people who grow up, amen. See? Bows your line, wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Not slight of men now, not cunning craftiness, but speaking the truth in love. Whether it's skin you, whatever it does to you. Amen. But love will edify you. Knowledge might pop you, but love will edify you. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. See? Be no more children, he says. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into him in all things. In raising your children, you mature. In doing your work, you mature. In taking your place in the house of God, you mature. In conducting your business affairs, you mature. In giving God a due portion, you mature. You getting like that? How are you getting it? May grow up into him in all things. Grow up in all things. Everything you handle it mature with wisdom, with understanding, with faith, with virtue, with knowledge. Because you grow up. Who is their head, even Christ? Grow up into Him who is their head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, head and the body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working, and here we get that word again, in the measure of every part. That every man a measure of the gift, the measure of the set of a perfect man, the measure of every part. Every time he uses that word measure, he unfolds more to show us this portion that God allots to a man, that he chooses him and predestines him unto, to bring him in to live in that place, in that portion, a huge portion awaits you. That will even make and bring to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. God only give him more of the Holy Ghost. What for? To serve him, to please him, to fulfill his word. Amen. To deliver you completely, to change you, to bring you to immortality, when they give you. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, every part, every one of us who is part of his body, he did a measure. See, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it what? Increase, increase, increase. Of the body. Well, like what I was saying just now. You have 5, you get 10. You have an acorn, you get an oak tree. Increase. God gives the increase. You build a bigger barn. You don't have to sow in the 6th and 7th year. Because God is going to take care of it. See? Make an increase. Of what? The body. Because every part of the body. And the body is a whole, and the body as individuals. Every part. And then the body as a whole. We are individuals, we are members, everyone have a different measure, everyone have a different part, but then we come one whole also, united under one headship, the unity of the one God and the one church. Make it increase the body unto the edifying of itself. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Unto the edifying of itself in love. Building it up, causing the increase. Causing to expand, causing to do greater things. That's why we have seen an increase over the years. I'm under the house in France through the Panther pulpit. Many people who don't understand increase, many people who live 20 years in a little box somewhere and have no concept of God and never done nothing outside their own walls. Never know what it is to go out in the field with the gospel. Never know what it is to have fellowship with other members of the body around the world. They can't handle this kind of thing. It's too big for the little minds. They live with a light under a bushel. Some little village, something somewhere. Maybe God called them for that. But when God said, come up higher, you better come up higher. You fly or you die. When your faith can't travel 20 miles to come to church because you feel your life will fall apart, how are you getting the glory? When you see your riches only as what in your little pocket and what your meager faith can allow you to put in the kingdom or somewhere else, and you can't see beyond that, and you're full of fear and intimidation and feel your life going to fall apart because God is waiting there for you, only make one mistake, you're gone. Then where are you going to end up with that? No, sir. That's in the Bible. May the Lord bless you and keep you with me. Have a seat. Let's turn to chapter 6 again. Parents in the Ephesians who I'm speaking of. I'm taking some of these scriptures here for a background. Last week we had such a tremendous time, I believe. And I think you should take time and listen back to these things. Sometimes it's not the place you want the word to come to you. And sometimes you get uncomfortable when the word comes direct to you too. But people are really corrupted. They can sit down and take the word. Because God already let them know who they are. You know, it's just God just wants to reflect His image through them. If He beat out some iron pyrite, if He take the scissors and put the button on the cloth and cut it, He's not going to spoil the cloth. He's going to make it into a nice garment or something. Amen. It's a pattern. It's a design He has in mind. Previously marked out by a design. If a stonemason takes a chisel and a hammer and cuts a stone to put it in a place, the stone don't fall apart. You know, he has every type of chisel. He knows how much weight upon each chisel, how heavy the hammer should be. If it's a foundation stone, he can't take a small light hammer like a cosmetic stone. For a cosmetic stone, you have to take a maybe like slate, some little, you know, thin piece of thing that he's going to put on there for purification. He's going to get maybe a light hammer, a little mallet like, and just hit it a little gentle tap. But if he's cutting a piece of foundation stone, he's going to get a heavy hammer and hit that thing and cut that thing, because that's going to take weight. And that's why, by the way, we are his workmanship. We are lively stones building up a spiritual house. Amen. A man who goes with some little pitchfork and tries to fork up a ladder and take some big backhoe and try to drive through a ladder but turn up that soil and get it to go deep and turn up all the roots and break up the fallow ground, he's going to plant seed in the bunch of roots of all kind of things that once lived in that soil that is going to come back up and choke it when the rain comes. That's why God tells Jeremiah, break up the fallow ground. Turn the thing upside down to bring up all the roots. So those things that once live in your earth can't live in your earth now. Your earth is with the seed that you plant inside of the air. Otherwise, all them old cares of this life come back to choke the seed. My. Now, this great, after chapter 4, is chapter 5. And chapter 5 is a great chapter in Ephesians because he is coming to his climax. And he's telling us, redeem the time because the days are evil in verse 16 and 17, how we should know what the will of the Lord is. Then he goes into, don't be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And he's trying to bring us to the Spirit-filled life. And then he starts about speaking to yourselves. Spirit-filled people to speak to the self. See if you have that in Ephesians 4, 5, 18 and 19. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. You have that in the Bible? Oh my. To live in this mystery. To live in the Holy Ghost. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You have a melody in your heart. Spiritual people who talk to themselves in psalms have a melody in their heart. In my heart there rings a melody. The world today is all kind of big boom boxes on their shoulder everywhere. They're jogging down their way to try to get a melody in. But you speaking to yourselves have a melody. But when science didn't invent nothing, you had a melody, amen. Because the Holy Ghost is coming to your heart. Holy Ghost changed you from an ugly caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly. Holy Ghost showed you your sins as scarlet, but He made them white as snow. Amen. Holy Ghost showed you loose you from a prison, and you can think, thank God I'm free from this world of sin. Washing the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Holy Ghost give you experiences. Build up your faith. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know it, thus saith the Lord. Maybe you might write it afterwards, and other people might learn it to sing your song, but when you reveal the Holy Spirit wrote that in your heart. Hallelujah! My Holy Spirit, see a day in September. Hallelujah! A snow white dove flew into my heart, saying, fear not, my child. Amen. Glory! Holy Spirit, put burden something in your heart. You tell others about it after they reckon that works me, I like it. Damn, let me learn that. And you can share it afterwards. Amen. But all is in your heart because he flew into your heart. Spirit to life. That was some deep, eh? But how much do you have that melody in your heart? How much do you have that wine? Not doing excess in that wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What are you talking about? Stimulation of revelation. Spirit. About what? Oh, I was excited. I found my place. I said, I was chosen of him. I said, bring us unto the place. I said, quicken in power, quicken in us, get in touch with him. Raise me up in heavenly places. Show me my bounty. Show me my landmark. Show me my birth. Show me my place. Show me my service. I'm filled with the Spirit. Across from over Jordan, the Canaan, the land. And this is like heaven to me. I find many people who can't understand why I'm so happy and free these past 27 years. I find many people who can't understand that bitter words mean wine of words. Amen. Hallelujah. I find many people who can't understand that Revelation 10 and 11 is the second part of the seventh seal. I'm listening to the Gentile prophet, the Jewish prophet, that he's showing my place in the world. Hallelujah. You now know what a spiritual life is, making a melody. And you tell me, a next church I've been singing the mess for 20 years. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Then you know what spiritual life is. Amen. See? Be on the page. Be on the page. Ephesians. Parallel Joshua. You think it's the work of the Israelites just walking the land? Flow down the valley, cross the river? It will flow, it bounce at harvest time. It took place standing with the world. Standing still, amen. Back in the world, in the midst of all controversy to get our people over. You have to open a way to bring them into the inheritance. Break the seals on the back of the book. We can enter in that land beyond the river. In that Ephesians. To live in the Holy Ghost. In the year 2000. To know you in Ephesians. To know the seals open in 1963. To know you come over. To know the captain come down. The intelligence. To know the headship is over the body. That is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. That can't be in Bar Tower, that can't be in Frankie, that can't be in Londonville. That is in the world. Because if I go Maruga, it will still be that same thing. If I go Ragga, it will be the same thing. If I go Africa, the Congo, it will be that same thing. We got the way of going, but that's in the world. You cross over into Canaan's fair land. You had taskmasters who used to whip you couldn't free yourself from. Now you have giants 10 times their size. And you said, they shall be at bread. What happened to you? Amen. What happened to you? What happened to your mind? What happened to your concept? What happened to your life? While people looking at circumstances, are we seeing giants? But with this financial giant, how are we going to do that? And this rent giant, and this transport giant, and this giant over here, and this education giant, and this school book giant, and this other giant, shut your mouth, amen! Hallelujah! Get fed! See the promise! See the promise! You say, brother, you think about like that. Shut your mouth. Can't tell the people. When the money comes back, problem. It was in the first Ephesians. It was in the second Ephesians. And it's in this Ephesians.
tell the people. And they say, we are more than ever. Because God enables us.
I'm not interested how tall the giant is. I'm not interested how many people the giant kill. How to Saul? Brother, look at Goliath, everybody's hiding. Little old rugged wilderness boy come out there with a slingshot of a prayer. Faith, amen. He said, relax on this, sir. This is what you're afraid. This uncircumcised giant here. This man causing all this terror. This old piece of bird meat, dog meat here. Brother, he went going through this thing. Amen. And men begin to draw their sword and get courage and realize that it's all but a doom devil who was having them under oppression and they can't rise up to live in what God said they are. Ephesians parallels Joshua. Sonship, heirship, inheritance. God has dealt every man a measure to deal with anything you will meet in life journey after that. All of you who have your so-called Pentecostal denominational Holy Ghost that can't overcome trials, that has complained and murmur, bring that Holy Ghost to the world and find out you need a new birth. All them so-called gifted people who is a row on the front speaking tongues and you can't even overcome a little bus situation, bring your Holy Ghost to the world. Amen. Show me what you're overcoming. Show me what your faith is. If it, what is not a faith is S-I-N-S-N. Unbelief is sin. Regardless of how educated, how much experience you talk, how theological, how the thing that caught, if it's unbelief is sin. The prophet says it's harder to deal with an educated heathen because heathen means unbeliever than an uneducated heathen. You can take the gospel to hot and touch, you know, nothing but Egyptian. You get among people who can quote this, quote that, say this, find this, show this. Faith without works is D-E-A-T. Dead! You show me your faith. I'll show you my faith with my works. Jesus. You show me how your eyes are anointed and how you see the promise and how you live under the hedge for the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, you work in the dynamics and a measure and God quickened you and raised you up in heavenly place and you know your position. You show me where you live in defeat. And I'll show you, you just have an intellectual concept of this message. Because you get a teaspoon of all that water in Carnage in the Gulf out there. See, brother, that teaspoon have all the chemicals that the whole ocean have out there. You get a little teeny bit weeny touch of the Holy Spirit. You have faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience going to broadcast inside there if you have the Holy Ghost. And that live inside of you, if that is not an outside Holy Ghost, that's an inside Holy Ghost, then you'll find you talking things that brother your human mind can't understand, but your faith saying, telling this intellectual man here, shut up! When faith says shut up, everything shut up! And faith speaks, amen! Say, my God is still the same! I know that might upset a few people, but I'm not saying that Krishna is. I'm saying to burn that unbelief out. That unbelief wants to choke the seed that's been planted. All of old roots from the old planting. Ephesians. Ephesians mean the Holy Ghost. Ephesians is Canaan land. Ephesians mean the eternal church age after this is open. Ephesians mean people getting ready for the rapture. Ephesians mean people know their position, and perfect faith is when you find your position and understand your position and begin to live in your position. Time that these things not just be taught but become a reality. Time that people mix the word. In the first Exodus, had people who hear the word, same as others, but they mix it with faith. It didn't profit them a thing. Every condition come they murmur. Everything come they complain. Time we hear some people say, thank God, look where you took me from. Thank God, look what you have done to me. Thank God, for the last 7 years, I know no confusion. Thank God, no minister living in adultery. Thank God, nobody of something around to get a message. Thank God, man of continuity in the world. Thank God, man talking the thing, and the thing living in the devil talking the thing. I'm getting Ephesians 6, parents, bring up your children. Bring up your children. I have a charge here. Bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Children, just relax. Papa is just trying to nurture you in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Mama Eagle May, spread them wings and find that nest. Tell her, tear that lambskin. But you ain't going to dead. You want to take your higher. Make it a little to set your wings to fly. Because this is a flying hour. This is a flying hour! Holy Spirit told you 2 years ago, take or die! All the things you're supposed to dig out still here. A lot of things you're supposed to dig out still stopping up the well of your own blessing. Don't you realize faith is the victory? Don't you realize Hebrews 11 by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith? Operate your faith. Like Noah had. He knew it was time for the rain to fall, so he began to build an ark. He didn't care what. He prepared an ark for the sin of his household. By faith, being one of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Oh my, where we ought to be. Quickly. So Ephesians 5, he's going there out. Where was I? No wonder I was talking about being filled with the Spirit. I tell you, the Spirit makes you do strange things sometimes. Then from verse 21, he goes into submission. Submitting yourself to one another in the fear of God, and he picks up wives. Isn't it something? He picks up wives first. You know why? Can anybody know why? That's why the fall took place in the garden. That's why God put the one on the headship back there. Any true prophet, any man with his sword to handle the word of God, looks back to the beginning. Find the root of the truth. Not that Moses, down is a Moses. He said it was not so from the beginning. You want to know what you have? Look back at your field, see what type of seeds was put inside of there. That's a problem. People sit down there and they mess with many years and never know what type of seeds was put in there. All these intellectual seeds. A lot of people don't know how deep those things was put in them. A lot of people never knew that spiritual intercourse If it's the wrong seed, it messes up, it defiles the womb. You can't think right. That's why he said, come to the washing of the water of the world. That you might be a glorious church. Filter your thinking. Come to your thinking man, filter. Come to the waters of separation. That the head, if it grew up into the head, Christ can come down. The intelligence can move in you. Because that's what you're called to. Growing up into the head. Growing up into a habitation for the Spirit. What is Paul looking at? A pyramid of people from growing up to the stature of a perfect man. That's what he's looking at. He knows his redemption. He knows to bring us back in the image of Jesus Christ. He knows to bring us back because Adam and Eve was a mystery concerning Christ in the church. He says that in chapter 5. From 4, he goes to 5. God deals. What does he tell us? What does he tell us? He said God has dealt every man a measure of faith. Measure the gift of Christ. Then he goes to us. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. The position, the role, and the function of the ministry. Before he can come to the people, he picks up the ministry. And he shows you the role of the ministry. Where God's leadership, where his headship comes forth. Where he makes his will known. Then, chapter 5, he comes to the people now. And he starts with the order. Showing them they need to be submitted. If you had to grow up in the Christ, you had to come to the head, you must learn submission. Because when you come to the head, what is going to happen? You will have the fullness of authority and power. You'll have all things under your feet then. And then you better learn submission. Because those who humble themselves is them who God exalts in due time. We got it with Joseph, we got it with Moses, we got it with Abraham, we got it all through the Bible. God shall train them. Every son and daughter that cometh to God must first be tried. Child training. Raising up those who give birth to be placed in the family. What is a Christian life? Well, a brother bring me in the church and give me a track, and you know, you come by me twice, and I feel it. Or you have the truth, you know, so I cannot come on. No. Those who foreknew is going to be predestined. Those who predestined is going to call. And no man can come to the Father, first draw him. And all that the Father hath given me will come. Is that right? And you are the call according to God's purpose. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? And all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to that purpose. You are his workmanship. Is that what the Bible says? So that means you have nothing to do with it. God foreknew you, God predestinated you, God called you. God make everything to work together for good in your life. Because you are his workmanship. Then God places you. Is that right? You're tossed to and fro by winds of doctrine, like a man coming across to this, trying to go back to another church, and you're like, don't go to another church, this preacher of them. I tell you, a bunch of hypocrites. I tell you, you know, they want to ask for money, or they want to live in adultery, or that man this, and that man that. See? When he's a baby, your mind can get battered here. And you can get complex too. And the words still say, but grow up. And when you gotta grow up, you have to realize you can't pursue just a man yourself. You have to realize if you're a fault, there is a truth. You can't look at every ship that wreck, you look at the ship that make the journey. What of you? It's an individual thing. Like Jesus said, Peter, he said, what shall this man do? Well, John, what shall he do? He said, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Is that right? Half a time before the kind of friend is this, God will bring you first. He said, call Abraham alone. As I 55, isn't it? 52 somewhere.
See, you want to see the scripture. It's an individual thing. He will have an ear to hear what the Spirit said. You see, that's why you don't come in church and kind of sit in that kind of church and say, no, no. You call to serve God in this hour. You're born in that family, sure. They are influenced along your life, sure. You go to school, you have friends that influence, yeah, sure. But if you're going to follow all them influences, you find your mind is going to be in a mess. Because you have to make decisions. Your friends are hard about it to follow. You say, well, you may say so because your father leave your mother. And your father will turn before the front of a woman. But my father not so. And the home I come from, not like all your home. Because I get discernment, they talking so. They influence you. Because they come from that kind of home. Where they're not taught, they don't know no values. They have no respect for one another. They grow that way. Reprobate. But you go with example. So you say, no, no, if that is the thing, you go your happy way. I'm happy right where I am. Praise God. I don't think I need you, Pastor. You're bad influence. As a matter of fact, you ain't past redemption. You want to change? Come. Come to me show where real home is. Come to me show what a real godly example. Come to me show the difference between denominations and says, come, 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 come. So you don't understand yet. See? That's what it does. You have to make decisions. Some girls are out. You're like here. Be there. Be my boyfriend. Be there. He said, but if I'll be a friend, and you know, I could be a friend here in school, I can lend you my pen. I can lend a copy of my text, my book, my homework or something. You know, take down what they say, go and study, sure. But if you had to go further than that, I can't be associated with somebody influenced that way. Because you don't realize, spiritually, you're diseased and sick. And what you have is contaminated. It's correctly natural. I call it a person of eight days. So it's not about you're sincere and you become close to you and you get connected to you and all so. No, no, you're diseased. You're quarantined. But if you want to come under some Holy Ghost fire that could burn that thing out to you and change you, then we may have a closer fellowship. We may really talk to me. I don't know how far we're going to go, but the thing is, we'll be going for that day for sure. But for right now, when I meet you, I say, how are you doing? Good morning. Show respect. Classmate. Little casual acquaintance. And I know where they bump you for that relationship is. Carried off and get pulled into this and pulled into that. The next thing, all you take fire in your bosom, then your mind sort of smoke. Then your desire get polluted, then you're suffocating under all the carbon monoxide. See, no, you don't at all. You don't want that at all, Paul. Man, I tried to read the scriptures and make a few comments in between, I can't get going. See. Yes. You only started in this, I told you, so you just can't run ahead and just poke there, no, that's what it's a land. And inside the land, you have to be led what part of the land to take, and how to take that part of the land. You ever see that? Put your little family and stuff here. Little exhortations on Christian conduct. Trying to get in the mystery here. See, trying to get in the mystery here. Because, you know, people like revelation. But I have the Spirit. I've been born again for 20 years only. Strange thing, you're born again for 20 years. I didn't grow from where you were 20 years ago. Come on, you're still talking baby talk. I think you need to be in the home for retarded children, you know. Because your girl, you see a person who says 45 years, the father will say, "Mommy, mommy, I want that lollipop." You say something wrong with the child mind. They're old, but the mind will develop. You're retarded. We have a point. We only have 45 years here, but they went to. So you really have the age. But from then you got to talk and behave. You got 5 years. Rare disease or something. Defective gene, you're dwarf. Hunchback. Mongoloid. Say, oh. Defective genes. See? Can't fit into this society. Have that special home for them. People have been taking care of and watching them all their life. Can't let them go on the street, can't let them handle nothing with a little risk or a little responsibility or any other training, you know, to handle. You can't, you just can't. Because the risk, the high risk. You get what I'm saying? You want to be so? You don't want to be so? You want God to trust you. God to send you up to the school and you don't get promoted. God to send you to the church and you don't get promoted. God to change the job, go over here. The temptation might be greater, the pressure might be greater, but because the Lord bring you, you're ready for that now. You're going to give the kind of witness I want out here. You got certain people, you tend the world, you know to present the world, you know to talk properly, you know to act properly, you know to give a positive influence. You know it, I can trust you. Carry yourself as ambassador of Jesus Christ. Yes, if you do, you've got this, don't you run this brother, don't you run this sister, it's a bit dark, it's all dark, foolish talk, nonsense. Is it real, isn't it? You enjoy that? It's alive. Just get a thrill. You mean you get the Holy Ghost to do this? Is this what the Holy Ghost is given for? Say, I have to throw in my message books. Because I'm now getting taught from you what the Holy Ghost is given for. I was doing the wrong thing all the time, trying to evangelize, I'm trying to spread the gospel. I was going to be like, oh, no, you're going to come Wednesday and Friday and Sunday morning. And give me some Friday because the expense is too high. You really don't know. Yes, sir. I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep a sign and find fault. That was the Holy Ghost is given for. Get the wrong spirit. I think you need to check it. What spirit you got? You got kingdom by fruit. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When you speak, you speak as an oracle of God. Look, this come to me. This is a man. When you talk from the word. That is your word, children, this talk. What children of the Father, I thank you. We see you at the end of the age. After you open the seventh seal, Lord, you call us out the organization. You take it up in the midst of the seventh seal. Lord, we see the hour we are coming to. We know the officials in your churches. We recognize you in our midst, preparing us and getting us ready for this great thing, Lord. Lord, you're begging the greenness out and the wetness out. You're drying it out. You've got a right to say, dear God. And when you're present, you know that your scripture, that your quote, that your message, that God has been taught, that your experience, that your junction where we are. Then present yourself. But I ain't nothing. Say, that will be in the papers. And you get in the workplace. Yeah. And you spend my time in the scriptures. Yeah, that is over here. And you get influence over this next one here. That we're talking.
No. Nothing is wrong. Sonship, heirship, inheritance. Where's the conduct in the house? You simply, all this preaching, people in the house, all this showing your birth, your growth, your development, your training, your pleasure you're coming into, the plan for the age. Will you pay? When you talk, not to come out of your mouth. But what about the most kind of country that? You're opening
things to enticing spirits. Birds making nests in the air. Because your hand tired is, you know, where brothers of your sacrifice getting polluted. You have to say, Lord, true. It's not now because it's being emphasized in this season. No, because this is not for those who might be born here in this season under the word. But then you have those who born years ago saying, where you're at in the journey, what is your overcoming? Have you come into your place? Can you define what you call for? Are you seeing the portion that is given to you and dealt to you, dealing with the situations you encounter in your everyday life? Has there been an increase or a decrease? Or you're stagnated and what you have is getting polluted now? This is where you have to look. This is how you have to check. Once you miss that, you in Third Exodus Assembly in London, there's a border Trinidad. You come from geography, you arrive in geography, you live in geography, and you go back to geography and come from. But when you come in this world, you come from God, you drop down here, the Holy Spirit pick me, raise you up, begin to lead your men and led by the Spirit of God, bring me to your place, make you overcome and inherit all things. Go back to God when you walk in the world. It's strange how when you start to get in the word sometimes, unlike parents in Ephesians, you really get parental. All of the church is like a big mother, you know, with a lot of children. She loves all her children, she wants to see all the way. Maybe at one time she tried to get all of them to just get 5 GC subjects. You kind of realize, no. Some want to be a mechanic, someone to be a surveyor, someone to be a pilot, someone to be something else, someone to be a carpenter, someone to be, you know, a clerk. And she started to realize, you know, how diverse it's still now. And then she had to realize, well, I have to have my home fixed in a way to accommodate my children. Because I have my home only tailored for one kind of children, then a lot of my children will be uncomfortable. So she has to make sure all her children's needs can be taken care of. And that's why we've been trying to do what we do. You need to look in Mama's heart. You need to see Mama's effort. You need to see if you only come in the house and lay your food and who take the thing. And sometimes children get so taken up in their own self. They don't see what their mama and their papa is trying to do for them. Realizing mama and papa almost done live their life and how much years left in them. But the children that they have to take care of, they're trying to do something in the home for the welfare and benefit of the children. But the children are so taken up in competitiveness and selfishness and independence and everything else that they are feeling it's a home. It's not the world come back in here for a rat race. It's a home. It's not a political party doing an independence thing and everybody have a backyard. No. It's a place where we all have to come in to make it a home. And you can do it in your home with your children. I'm doing it with my children. Everyone is trying to do at home with their children. And then we all trying to do it in this home with these children. And that's the principle. That's the principle. And sometimes you find people, the thing they want in the natural home, they work against it in the spiritual home. See? Mommy have a right to sit down and listen to Daniel. There are certain things Daniel want to talk about and his ideas to be accepted. And you don't realize, no, Daniel. Say A for apple, B for bat, C for cat. Hold Vicky's hand and carry her. And say, Daniel, stand out and Vicky for me. And he hear the ball knocking outside. He takes off and puts his hand down the dustbin. And he realized he isn't ready for that responsibility. But just a minute ago, he was disrupting the whole talk to say what should be done in the house. The Danny talked to me when he reached 20 years. You're holding a good job and you're showing you overcome all these things. Until then, I have a place for you. It's part of this family. Special care is going to be given to you that don't have to even be given to the bigger ones who are working and doing something. Because at home, the one who works and bringing the money and doing the help in the house, you got to take care of them. You try to show appreciation, but the one who needs care is the only one. And the people are going to say, Daniel, you have to wear shoes. I work it whole week. And you're telling me, I'll help pay for this, and pay for that, and do this. And he's doing that thing. And you say, he has to get milk, otherwise he don't get any milk, and otherwise he don't get this. And say, but that's normal in the house. This one little, this one dependent on the bigger ones to help him. This one's immature. So the bigger one, understanding, they get on a parental level. They get on a help to the parent. And they can't look for equal response and attention. Because you think that when they get big, they don't need babysitting. See? So David come, sit down here. Now, what's in the napkin? Here's a napkin. Now, Dave, let me wipe him out. This is my mouth here. Now, Dave, you're going to hook. No. He's big. He don't need that. It's a home. It's a home. And so then, even little ones, because they're immature, they want to talk to the big girl, but they're very impressed in the big one. But the parents laugh at it because it's a joke. And so they get upset and they get laughed at. But it's not a laugh with scorn, it's a laugh with amusement. Look at the little one celebrating, they're celebrating. It's not a scorn for laugh, it's not a really cute laugh. It's amusing, eh? Oh my, that's really, do it again. It's amusing. Then somebody get all bent over the seat. No. God used it with humor. And lighten the atmosphere in the home by your nonsense. You can appear and get all bent out of shape and take the belt and crack the child. Something wrong. Let the parents amuse that. So then, like one time, my mom, when she was alive, you know, she was, the boys were up home. So Juna and Pablo, you know, they were there. They saw Patrick coming, his uncle, my brother. So Pablo ran out to say, Uncle Patrick, you got a dollar? Juna said, wrong man, boy, wrong man. He said, he's only getting three family. And the mother's upset over hearing that. Well, she tell him about 10 times afterwards. Every time to lighten up the atmosphere, it's amusing how you say, wrong man, boy, wrong man. He's not the man. You don't ask him for that. Ask him something else. Ask him where this gone or help him find a ball or something that ain't cost him nothing. I can say that that's my brother. He don't mind. You see? You see, I can say that because that's my brother. See? Because it's a joke. It's a family joke. If I go out and find him in the bad year, he won't shake me out of the series that isn't wrong. No, that is sending me to people. That is sending me to people sometimes. And they put your force and pressure. How did I get all this? But make it look like, I guess when we got on the set, to kind of relax you, but somebody was getting tense just now. Somebody started getting red in the face.
Let's read it. Ephesians 6. I was going to read that about half hour ago. But that's kind of background in from chapter 5, what I was doing last week. Lord help me. So from 21 all the way, he's going to wives and husbands, and then he ends up in verse 32, chapter 5, about the great mystery of Christ in the church, and then he continues on from wife and husband, and goes to the children. And this is where we are preaching, children obey parents. And I was taking the title of parents in the Ephesians, and that's what I'm taking again this morning. And we are talking about parents, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So in chapter 6 it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you hear that? Obey your parents well. Not just obey your parents, you know, in the Lord. Now, children are dependent on the parents, and children obey the parents. And by nature, a child, if it has not yet come to the age of adolescence, is not really developed the place to think for itself. So, it's in subjection to the parents. But when a child begins to get to the age of accountability, and begins to know the difference between right and wrong, and can tell when daddy is doing something and saying something and living something else. And when mommy is saying that and then, you know, and the next time she's doing something totally opposite, 360 degrees different. Children start to see that. Then they start to get mixed signals. Then they start to get confused. Then they draw back. And they begin to watch and observe more carefully what the parents do. Then they start to make choices automatically whether they want to believe that or not. And that some children will not do it. And then sometimes your parents say that child is rebellious, that child is not rebellious. That's not rebellious. Because the parents want the child to do something, and they push by your father tell it to do. And the child says, no, it's against the principles of the word of God. It's against what we start believing in this house. 2 years ago, you had us together here, we pray in your house, you open the studio, you're ready, you say, from now this house going so, so, so. No, look what you're doing. You're confusing me. I think if you admit your weakness, if you admit your weakness, and we all pray, and you say, my father, sure, you say, my mother, sure. Amen. But if now you're going to try to cover your own sin with guile, and then continue to use pressure on me, and you think, no, something's wrong. I don't disrespect you, but the thing is, I can't have confidence in your leadership when you act like that. I'm not saying I divorce myself from you. I'm not saying I'm not going to follow you no more. You're my parents. I love you. I'm part of you. I'm dependent on you. I'm attached to you. I'm related to you. But the thing is, if you tell me something that is your word, I'm 100% agreement. And likewise, because I think the same thing goes with this. That if I, as a child, do something different, I would expect you to call me and tell me that's wrong. Because that's the relationship. We are watching over each other. We care for each other. We know we'll meet things along the way that either of us on a parental level or you on a child growing up will meet, and we may not be able to handle it. We may not be able to take control of the situation. But we want to be there for each other, that I can have your support and your encouragement. You can have mine also. I see you come from school all looking down and discouraged. I call you aside and say, honey, what's the matter? I'm in school today. Show, you have class. Oh, you still get in chat class with laughing because they're long friends. I don't bother with that. You know, you're different. You try to build the child. Child to the father, all their kind of sad, maybe they take back the car, bank repossesses. He said, Dad, don't be discouraged about that. God will provide next time. Who is that? You know, before cows infected, people should never be happy. If you had to move in a two-room house, that way, that we'll make do, we'll make do. We can share. All our children here, poor, we can go and share now. We love each other, we stand together, we are family. You can imagine a father here, children talking like that under hardship circumstances. When he's trying to be the best provider, and can't seem to see a way open up to him. Wouldn't that be encouragement? But he does this.
But I'm sorry, I born this family in hardships. It has been a tribulation period already. Why did we born in the next family? When I look at all the living house so much, it's a lot of pressure for me. Father, I said, Dr. Chandler, honey, look, you know, I think you don't have to act like that. You know what I mean? Remember, is God predestined these things? There's enough of my predestination right now, man. That's that wrong attitude. That'll break a father's heart. Break a mother's heart. Because they're trying to give the child faith. So listen up, and the child don't want to hear the word of God. The child wants to keep the frustration rather than receive the word that can let them be precious. But any true father would assault with God, say, Lord, give me the approach, give me the key to unlock them. Maybe find him in the right moment. Maybe know what's in the moment to react. He may not just turn and crack down on the person. I said, by the father, don't come to the no, no, watch it first. Probably say, oh, she's going through menopause, is it okay? I talked to her sometimes. Who said, now is the time. He said, honey, he said, you do something wrong. She already had a witness too. So when God to go and talk, God already had a heart ready to receive and respond, not to be correction. Amen? Tell God, give me a word to talk to your wife. Hey, honey, God said this. Wait, what do you say? You're hiding behind the door? And forcing? You will slam the door again? You're breaking up the side? Amen. The honey God says to our parents in Ephesians. God says, this is what we need. Child training. God the parents, one of the places. Train children. So children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. Honor. And I was taking them two words last week, honor and obedience. Honor and obedience. First the children obey. And you come to the children first. First from wife and husband, then wife and husband produce what? Children. That's your offspring. That's your heritage. Then what's your relationship now? What your husband and the wife is in harmony? And that mystery is there. And the children being born. And the children have been trained. It says obey your parents in the Lord. From now, from husband and wife become the parents. So husband and wife without children is only husband and wife. They're not parents yet. But when husband and wife have offspring, they become parents. And now they have to go to training children. But this is right. And then the children, in obedience, must know honor thy father and mother. Don't just obey them alone. Honor them too. Some children do not honor their parents. Some children so live in a selfish world. What is God saying? God is saying the way to coming to blessing. He put you in a home. You ain't born in the street. You ain't born in an orphanage. That frog didn't fly and bring you in a diaper and drop you in a cradle. No. It's a father and mother like Isaac and Rebecca. They wanted children. Like Jacob and Rachel, they cry for children. They wanted offspring. They wanted a heritage. Because that was his train in the beginning when God and Adam multiplied in place. God gave a bride to bring forth another son of God. God gave the church and the Christ. What for? To be pregnant with the word to bring forth fruit unto God. So the elect lady can have children. So he and his family could exist together. So he can come Ellen to become Jehovah. Make a little one like himself. And God is saying, look. Your role begins where? Is rooted where? In obedience. Earlier in Ephesians 3 about children of disobedience. Who walk after the causes world? Well, we too walk there before we get spirit filled, before the Holy Spirit quickness and raises us. We too were children of wrath by nature. We too were children of disobedience. We too, but we grow up in the Christ. We become a child of God. We know responsibility. Now God bless us with those under our care. Give us authority over them. And now we are raising them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And they are being taught obedience. Children, and not just these children alone who don't have parents, who don't have husbands and wives yet. I'm talking about the church children in the church too. The elect lady and her children. The children are born by this revelation through the womb of this church. Children, obey. Now watch the Holy Spirit. The thing is, you know, the carnal mind, when you read, you're sitting deep. Maybe the book of Revelation is in the mystery, the dragon and sons on the stars. You think that deeper than this. See? But this is so deep. Because this is the mystery of Christ. This is the mystery of Genesis. This is the mystery of the last days when they come back. This is the family in heaven and earth. Name after the Lord Jesus. This is the one who was in his loins with his name on the tie. This is the ones who were chosen and brought over and placed in the Holy Ghost. Like we had with Caleb and his daughter last week. You want to be successful? Some of you may never go to be an old man or old woman. Some of you may not even marry and the Lord will come. Don't feel bad about that. You 10 years, I want to lock up the next 15 years because I want to get bigger and marry my wife and children. The world might be no place to raise that in that time. And you might be able to find a virgin. And AIDS taking over the bodies of people. And with all this scientific food, it's all kind of defective genes. Because biotechnology, genetic engineering is changing the construction of food. And all these mad scientists that want to clone and everything else. And the Human Genome Project, where they trying to sequence the DNA, the human DNA, to bring medicines and different things to manipulate the body. Because Satan has the world in grip. That's why there's only a few elect remain, only as a serpent seed. And God, under his message, putting them out. He shall deliver those names from written in the book. That's why the angels on the earth looking to get this one, get this one, get this one, get this one. Why? Because these rest will be counted as fire in this atomic age. The righteous will walk out in the ashes of the wicked. Daniel said he'll mingle the seed in the last days. They find far more scientific ways of mingling seed now. They call it biotechnology, genetic engineering, human genome project. They find far more advanced ways to mingle seed. Give a woman a child without even having sex. Get a test tube baby, get an embryo there, plant inside of her. Mix the sperm and gene in a laboratory. Talk about biological father and biological mother. So I get care and all kinds of things. See what we're talking about? And Daniel says, they'll get weaker and wiser. And look at the information age. Everything is electronics, technology, computers, satellites. You see the age, friends? You see the kind of place your parents have to raise up children? In the age of delinquents, in the age when man, as it was in Noah, so shall it be, when the marriage is in marriage, when man no longer faithful to the mother, boy come from school to the father, in a bow with the hand among the next woman, come home and hug up the wife and saying, everything all right? Boy seeing daddy give up in the night, making phone calls to the next woman? Boy seeing next woman tracking on the father? Seeing the mother have to remember the next woman have to have the husband? Girls seeing that? See? Why? As it was in the days of Noah. Marriage had lost all value, all respect. The marriage covenant had been degraded in such a low state. And with this internet, all this pornography websites, let me say, you young people, if you fear God, you don't know the grip that the devil wanted to put some of your minds in by proof. Remember, Eve wanted to see what sex was. Remember, Eve wanted to see. And remember, the devil, you're trying to find out these things the wrong way. And when you have to open this up, the demon powers who control these sites, and it's like a cesspool where that evil influence from the pit of hell, all of them is outlets of the bottomless pit that open where demon powers is streaming out. If you don't understand, they call it a website in this scientific name. But that outlet from the very pit that open under the trumpet with supernatural devils gripping people's lives and deforming them into a hideous condition of darkness, making them chew in a rat. Let that God send a message to wash your mind, filthy your thinking, bring it to a holy man's face. I wish I could, when I preach this, I could hear more young people say amen. Yeah. Let me know that you ain't sitting there all full of condemnation, but you have some conviction, and if you're getting lured or influenced by friends, you run from that thing. Yeah. For you want to stand for something genuine, you want to stand for something real. You know this gospel is life. You know God called you, says, when God promised to be with you, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'm with you always. You want that Holy Spirit in your life. When you turn your back from that and go after other lovers and go into whoredom, after other idols and into idolatry and into sexuality and into all these other images and voices and influences to play with and marry into, have false union with, and let your affection go towards those things, you're actually committing illicit things against God. You're going to illicit relationships against God, who you crave to condemn the invisible union in this uniting time with. And your spiritual mind that was received to be pregnated with the seed of promise, the word for the age, your husband's seed. Now you're getting all these other seed out there of men who put up them things to pregnate your mind with them kind of thoughts. Sometimes you're gullible, you're insensitive to the temptation, you're insensitive to the wiles of the devil in this evil day who's trying to hide through your spirit. But as a child, you obey your parents. Your parents talking to you this morning. Your parents talking to you, instructing you, like Solomon in Proverbs 6, telling me, son, that is the gate to hell. Son, watch that evil woman out there, this Laodicea age, Miss Laodicea, with all her wiles. Son, watch them things, don't go that way. She takes many, she holds them spellbound with all her attractions and her parlors and her video games and all her arcades and all her Playboy magazine and penthouse and all her blue movies and all the different things and all the rap music and all these different things. Friends! God is showing him that evil woman out there, her gates are the gates of hell. Mistress Babylon, the mother of all the abominations of the earth, who have a cup there with all these abominations. I want you to partake of that cup. But there's another cup here. Amen. Run it over. Hallelujah! He will give to her double. He will give to her double. Because she and her husband Lucifer and their house with a cage at hateful and unclean place, with all the buzzer children, or all the tears children, will be uprooted and cast in the fire. All her denominational deformed children. But the elect lady, she will have her children. They'll have values. They'll carry themselves with dignity. They will hold the mystery of pure conscience. They will not, young people, they have the faith to overcome in this evil age. They will know the same Holy Ghost that lead their father and mother unto freedom, because God have no grandchildren. Even unto you and your children, and even as many as the Lord, that God shall call. God said right there. Same place, your parents go to get the Holy Ghost. God put the children right in the same place. Is that right? But the first thing is what? Obedience. Obedience. That is the key to success. Father, I do those things that please you always, Jesus. Father, I know you hear me always. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. My meat is to do the will of not send me unto finish his work. I must be about my Father's business. Sonship. The spirit of sonship. Even the closest relatives. Mary, Joseph, son, thy father and I have sought thee with tears. I must be about my father's business. He didn't even let the closest of relationships pull him away from his father's business. Sonship. What kind of conviction are you serving God with? What is the message to you? What does it mean to you? Doctrines, this church, this minister, that minister? Or you look for something in your own life as an elect of God in this hour? Say, I believe God called me. I believe I'm born to serve God in this age. I believe that, you know, did the hour of the rapture. I believe these things. And I believe that as son and daughter of God, I want to know to possess my best in sanctification and honor and be perfected in the fear of holiness. And I know my body is not for fornication, but my body is the temple of the living God. That God, if I separate and touch the unclean thing, He will dwell in me and walk in me. That's what I want. That's what God promised. You believe that? Oh my, I just can't move from there. And after you begin to obey your parents, then honor them. In other words, the obedience is not forced objection. And because you can't do nothing else, no. Jesus, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. These are obedience that come from love. Because you realize the kind of parents you have, they live for you. Because real parents live for their children. That's the last thing. Real parents have their children suffering, and next thing they come out, they're all well dressed up and everything else. Real parents, they see them, they rather wear the baggy clothes and make their children have nice clothes. Real parents. Real parents, they take time for the children. They look at them, they try to contact them, because why? They understand what it is to be parents. They know the children depend upon them. They know that they must be interested in the children's needs. You know why? They already learned submission and service in the relationship with one another, husband or wife. So now children come from that union where they were in submission. If husbands run around, wife was retaliating and they begin for children. They can't get obedient children. Who's going to be the example? Who's going to be the influence? Where's the atmosphere going to go then? It's not going to be that way. If the church can respect a minister, minister can respect the church, you use your kind of self God. Parents in your home, fussing in front of the children, these things. It don't work. It's just a lack of temperance, even to say, honey, this is wrong to put before the children. If we disagree, we have a place to settle our disagreement and discuss this matter rather than project it before the children. Not trying to find some scripture, you know, Jesus, he built this one here, and he's a man of God, and you know, no. That is dislocating the thing, showing a different context. See? Why? Because remember, you can be a father and mother, all to be a provider, but you never come into power, you never come into blessing, you never come into the place where we went to receive the dead back to life. We're fathers. But I could see Jehovah Jireh because the son is so obedient to them. The family is so grown like Abraham and his son. His son was in such obedience to the father. His son was so trained. Big boy as he is. He's going to fight back his father. What? You deceive me? You bring me out and take my life? All the time he's a little of a burnt sacrifice. I think he was ram and me, I the burnt sacrifice. What kind of man you is? And you never like me? No. The father, not my will, but
that. How does children do it? Is that a story? Is that a makeup? Or is that all given by instruction, but teaching by admonition? Is that given as an example? How is children Abraham? What is that put in the Bible? Is that a mistake of Christ? What is it for us to learn? Could a man have that godly influence upon his son, that his son would deny his own will, knowing that he's under the hedge of his father? I want to please his father more than express self-will, because he's a father, a dedicated, obedient servant of God. He did his father stand and serve God. He did his father honor his mother. He did his mother call his father Lord. You mean that kind of influence could grow a boy in this kind of obedience and submission? Amen. That could reflect God in his own son? Amen.
going to be thunder soon. That's going to be token to me. Honor. Honor his father. Sometimes people get upset. Somebody can pray, Lord, we thank you for the servant you give to us. We thank you for the father in the house. Somebody get upset. They got good servant children honoring their father. They got kind of a healthy house. Maybe the house you grew up in, you never used to do that. Maybe you get that talk with the father, want to beat your father and fight the father and disrespect the father. You come in a house with your children reverencing the father, you're upset. You gotta realize you grew wrong. You see, our wife wants to be in subjection to your husband. My husband says, she knows head. She working in harmony, subjection with your husband. She knows your husband with the authority in your house. She knows her submission, her forced submission is a willing submission because she recognized God gave her a man that could lead her and govern her. She takes the veil off and put it on her shoulder. And then they talk about the interest of what they can do for the children to make life easier for the children, make the home a better home. People get upset for that. They must be born in an orphanage. They must be getting out of that dustbin. The father been running, the mother don't get out of that dustbin. Remember the father gone, they can't find him. Friends, listen to me. Truth has come out of his mouth. Speaking the truth in love. Honor your parents. Be thankful for 3 square meters. Be thankful for clothing, good clothing. Not no old ragged clothing. Be thankful for good shoes on your feet. Shod with the gospel of preparation. Be thankful for true righteousness, not some old self-righteousness. Be thankful for a real name. Be thankful that a man see a woman in war, takes she remains a captivity over her, give her status as a wife, bring her into the house, change her, make she the married wife, make sure she do benevolence, make sure she food and she raiment, don't diminish. Don't stand there and fuss at yourself and go through pressure. Be thankful. Boaz went over the gate and take a Moabite who come to false union and redeem the land and redeem the woman. That's the Bible. Explain it different to me. Let me hear it different angle. Read Ezekiel 16. Father was a Hittite, the mother was an Amorite, he says. He said, I'll find you, and they were being caught in a bunch of blood left in a field. He said, pick you up, I'll wash you, I'll cleanse you, I'll take you in, I'll give you nice raiment, I'll decorate ornaments, I'll fix you up good, give you a name, put you up front. You have all that, the money conscious, don't say you're conscious. The children need to be parents today. Children, you want to be a parent? I'll be a parent. God give a good parents. You in the assembly here, God give a good parents. You have nice mothers and fathers. They love God. They travel and father. They come to church. They come to hear a word like this in a hot building. A word that is not to entertain. A word that is going to tickle people's ears. A word that tells us the hour we live in. A word that shows us the mystery of who Christ is, of what is required of His church in this hour, where we ought to walk, to find God's favor and God's blessing, to be children,
Truly, it takes obedience. Look at Jesus was obedient. Look at Jesus always say, I don't do nothing, my Father doeth works. My Father is good than I. He was constantly honoring the Father. He was trying to take honor for himself. I'm a girl of my Father's business. I can do nothing but only what my Father show me. What's a son? What's a child? What's the parent? He was the Son of God. God overshadowed Mary, create that body, and come and live in it, and reveal the mystery of sonship. Think of it. That was the perfect example. That was the perfect example. My God is strange. I was up onto a four this morning. Since I'm about 10 the day before. I woke up all. I want to go to pick up Jephthah's daughter. I want to pick up the daughter of Zelophehad. And these things, I can't get out of Ephesians 6. Obedience. Honor. To show how Jephthah's daughter honored the father. What can I influence upon a girl life? A man who is rejected. A man who is cast by brothers. See? But when the war starts and the Ammonites begin to come to take the land, they run for Jephthah. The same man in the castle, they say, you know, we need a leadership to go into that battle. You can fight that enemy. We see God with you. All you have to do, I born to the mother of the harlot. Sure. But then where did the loyalty come from? He might let me pass through the womb of a harlot, but come of his loyalty. And then the same brothers who reject me, they come back around for me afterwards. And you know what John does? He says, I can't even wear a spirit in your head. Out of your head. Out of your captain. And get the elders together of Gilead. And he said, come on, you elders of Gilead. Let me talk to you all. And then Jephthah went out. He called up the enemy. And he said, I'll talk to the enemy and tell the enemy. He said, let me tell you enemy something. And when he began to speak to them, he said, you Ammonites claiming we take all your land. This land, when we came out of Egypt, and he began to start the history and detail, and began to bring in every place where they camped, where they was. But how did we invade nobody? They asked them, we pay for what we eat, we're independent, we don't want nothing free. The man had principle. He was watching how the Exodus prophet handled the thing. And he said, so I send a messenger to you, as Moses sent messenger of Sion and Og. I send message to you. What do you want to fight me for? What do you want to interfere with me for? He said, what do you want to invade me for? You want to extend your influence? You want to come against me? What do you want to fight me for? I ain't doing nothing. He said, this land I have is not all your own. We're not all your own. We possess it from the Amorites. God, can we take it up after the hand they have? God, to take it. And finally, he said, Lord, I put the match in your hands. And the Bible said, they happened to him, and the result didn't kill him anyway. And the Spirit of God come upon him. And when the Spirit of God come upon him, he passed over. And begin to move. Because while the brother rejects him, he gets a bang of worthless men. I have a bang of worthless men here. For about 20 years, I had a bang of worthless men like a renegade. But inside of there, God taught to transform. You know, the Bible said David and David themselves, all kind of people who are dead, same people, everybody. But they got a whole fire and reject the society. See? Then the same stone that the builders refused become the head of the corner. And then when he went into war, that was God delivered them into his hands. With 20 cities. He made, under the anointing, he made a bow to God. He said, God, first you come out of my door and I come back home. All kind of people said, man, vain and different things. Nonsense. See, when the carnal man in the Bible can't understand, God has what he wants to show. God, Paul! Say, and what shall I more send? Time will fill the power of giving a bang of Samson and Jephthah. The Holy Spirit in Paul. Inside of Paul watching Samuel and the Lord sent Jephthah to deliver them. But look what man was seeing. Look what man was rejecting. Look what man was receiving. All the time the Lord sent the man.
And they showed the man was no renegade. The man had a virgin daughter. Her womb didn't know no other man. See, the man had raised that little girl up. Raised that church up. But she had no political womb. He's still done with all kind of idea. This man, and what this man tape, and what that man tape, and what this man idea, and what after this man doctrine. No, no, no. He raised her up and keep her free. And keep her womb in a virgin state. Keep her womb undefiled. And he said, Lord, I'm going to give you this little virgin church here as a burnt offering. He said, make me a vow to God. Your church, you have to lay down your head. You have to lay down your feet. You have to lay down your fat. You have to lay down your inwards. We have to offer ourselves a living sacrifice to God. He said, under no circumstances, we have to maintain with virginity all the days of our life. And he said, how could that, when that girl find out, Jephthah come back home after the battle. God choose the thing. God, he make the vow to God. He specify, but God choose what he want to come out the door for what God want. Parents in the Ephesians, or should the killer ask the daughter? I want you to talk about Jephthah and the daughter. I want you to talk about Jephthah, a man who, when the Israelite was getting mixed up and false union, all the book come over in the land under the Joshua Commission. Start to go with a false union. Get a boy to Philistine. Get a boy to Amorite and Hittite. Start to take Hittite girl and Hittite girl, Amorite girl and Jebusite girl for the son. Bring them in their family. Bring them in the house. They have enough backbone to fight and take what is theirs. Put the foot down. Prophets are possessing all things. Your boy gets mixed up with the wrong girl. Your girl gets mixed up with the wrong boy. And parents are going to say, well, what are you going to do? You know, the child has their own mind. Time is some parents like Abraham said, take the authority of the word. And say, Satan, you get my girl mixed up with the wrong boy. You get my boy with the wrong girl. Go after my girl for that thing. And some of you are your boy and you're trying to put them on a girl. Have the girl trying to put them on a boy. Because in church, and you're kind of afraid to go in the world, when you hear the word preached like this sometimes, so you're trying to make it safe. He said, and yet you know your boy have all them family traits, and don't have the Holy Ghost, and make hell for that girl on earth, but you're turning your eyes to that. He said, but I would never advise that girl to marry that boy in that condition. Because he make hell for her on earth. He said, look at the father and the mother, look at the grandfather, look at the uncle and the aunt, and then watch them. You know how I went through the way? But I'm trying to show you where it fit. I'm trying to bring you where it fit. Where it fit. Because Paul was looking back in the book of Joshua when they come in the land and see what happened to parents, see what happened to homes, see what happened to families who come over, who pick up them stones, 12 stones in Jordan, 12 stones in Gilgal, circumcision, roll over the reproach, start to eat the old corn, come into the captain, the heads for the captain, get a revelation of the position, and when they go in and fight for it, they compromise and end up in a half with deliverance. I never was able to drag the thing out. And then every man begins to do what is right in their own eyes. And the same church that was one time so powerful where sin couldn't stand among them with Achan and them now has interbred. But inside of they had some Jephthahs. He will open, he will liberate, he will deliver. That's what Jephthah means. He might be rejected, but he had a key to open up. He had a revelation that he knew the word of God. You see, four verses tell about Jephthah exploits, the wars that he fought. But 43 verses or more tell about his life, his revelation, his knowledge of the word, his character, the influence he had on his daughter. Which one do you think Paul said, by faith, Jephthah? I said, don't let me hear all the big, deep revelations and all the sort of talk and all the jargon of the message. Where's the revelation? Because Abraham knew when to marry his son. Caleb knew when to marry a daughter and how to help her get settled in the married state. And he knew what kind of man she needed when the time came.
and he chose the battle of the situation to let her find one who really laid down his life and husband loved the wife, Christ loved the church. He wanted one that would love his daughter that way. He didn't just want to get you married, get you off your hand, oh, afraid she could have a sex problem.
No. We must have a little more dignity than that. A little more revelation than that. A little more faith than that.
I'm enjoying this. Parents in the Ephesians, I'm enjoying that. I feel the Holy Spirit giving an unction inside of you. I feel like it's doing us good. I feel like it's going to do us good. I feel like it's going to give us some strength in places we need that strength.
I'm feeling the simplicity of this thing. There's a depth, there's a breaking and an entrance to enter and get into the honey of what this word is and what it's saying. You got Ephesians, Paul, Joshua. He was looking back and see how Isaac and Rebekah, when they watched Esau, one of their sons, born from the womb of the bride, Eliezer introduced, started getting mixed up with the wrong girl. It affected the parents that they take precaution immediately. They try to make excuse. They try to hide it. They try to cover it. They try to distance themselves. They take precaution to guard it from going further in the family. God wants men, friends. God wants a man who will take him at his word. God wants men with conviction. God just wants more than something more than jellyfish. God wants men who will stand for principles. God wants men who will the doctrine of the word and establishing the doctrine. God wants people who want to be a spy to be what the word calls us to be in this hour. Who have a disaster, Lord, I can't be that. Lord, I'm weak. Look at the family I come from. But Lord, you make a way to give the Holy Ghost. And you can give me a new birth. And you can raise me up. And the revelation of the word can empower me. And through your leadership and guiding influence in my life, as I surrender and make myself available to you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. God wants man with that kind of conviction, who desires to be the kind of man and the kind of woman and the kind of children that God wants us to be in this hour. Because that's where we're going to find joy, friend. That's where we're going to find victory. That's where we're going to find blessing. That's where God's going to come in your life and give you the right mate. As long as God didn't get in that place, Satan will mess up your mind and make you see the wrong thing and you go after the wrong thing. And when you think you get what you get, you'll end up in this crap heap where you have 9 of the 10 marriages, and these statistics now, that end up in divorce courts. Until people don't even want to marry no more, they want to shock up and live common law because they're afraid to take a vow that they'll be true to each other. Until churches get so low-down and hypocritical, priests now defending gay rights, and man will marry a woman to a woman, and then orphanages will give them the child to raise the child as parents. And big people come out of the university with doctor degrees who they put into office by vote and different things and get them big jobs that shape and the laws that govern the society and pass them laws. Yeah. You know why? Because this word of God means nothing to them. Modern thinking. But if one sin threw the whole wound of chaos, more just going to hasten the day that God burn it. But God sent a word to turn the heart of the children back to the faith of their fathers. And I said, look at Peter and them. They didn't just have miracles and gifts and power and these things. They could take care of their family. They had a revelation on these things. What kind of revelation you have on your home, on raising your family, on your children? What kind of revelation you have on life? How it applies to you and your environment and your estate? What kind of leadership you have in your life? What kind of conviction does the Holy Spirit give you? Conviction. The only kind of conviction the Holy Spirit gives is when they go into sin. I do something wrong, I feel convicted, boy. He doesn't convict you and tell you, you're living right, but you still need to go closer. He tells you, you're his kind of magician. He tells you, you need to separate a secret believer and put your lamp on a lampstand in order to know where you're coming from, what you stand for. And when you speak out because you have conviction, even though you need to bring criticism and reproach, but you're not ashamed at your opinion to the Spirit. What kind of father do you have? Today, say, you can't find out George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. Nobody can find a man principle to put him in government, put him in some leadership position. You know why? Everything become a Saul, a Ahab, a Mixer, a Jehoshaphat.
it becomes that something watered down, something popular with the people. They don't care whether it's right or wrong. It will go over good with the crowd. It will make a good thing for a season, a good topic. It will be good distraction from reality. Keep the people, sedated. No. In the midst of that, God wants the people who stand. That's why I send a message. That's why I call the people out of organization, man-made systems. That's why I call the people back to the original word. That's why God is trying to make man-man, woman-woman, children-children. Young man and young woman with godly principles, like Joseph and Mahan. Is that right? You appreciate that, sir? That's the word? Let's stand up, please. I'm trying my best not to punish you with these things. The heat. And I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the word. I'm talking about holding you long. Trying to bring it to a place, give you enough to think on. Read that story about Jephthah. I want to spend some time there. When you get a chance, read about Zelophehad and his daughters. You know the first thing the daughters say? When they went before Moses, and they tried to bring the inheritance, they said, "My father never take part in no rebellion with Korandom against the Lord." That was the court of appeal. God answered back and said, "That's right. Give them the final inheritance." I'll show you why these things come along. I'll show you why this is opening now. I'll show you how these things relate to where we come in. I'll show you what's happening. And when you walk in here and thinking of geography, I'll show you, walk deeper than that in the world and understand the hour you're living in. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hear how the Spirit is saying. See the emphasis. See how the Spirit is applying these scriptures that could push in a Christian scientific way as family focus and human behavior. See the mystery of it. To the people who are called to live and overcome the challenge of the hour. Because after Paul finished that, he went into warfare. He had covered the ministry. He had covered the people. That's the church. The head and the body. Then he went into warfare. He said, "No, you see where a wife is? Fight for that. You see where a husband is? Fight for that. You see where a master is? Fight for that. You see where a servant is? Fight for that. You see where a churn is? Fight for that. You see where a pastor and evangelist and a teacher? You see the role? You see the function? God will remember. Fight for that. Take that place. And let's become a unified body." That's what he's talking about. And he shows the strategy, the tactics to employ, how to engage in that warfare. Perseverance, all prayer, righteousness, preparation, shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the wiles of the devil. Things that come to hard, bring the church and break it, and then broke them back there. If you want to live in the Holy Ghost, if you want to continue on in victory, if you want to continue on the power of the Spirit, my brother, my sister, you have a desire for God today. You have something in your heart that says, "Father, I want to go deeper. I don't want to be on the surface. I know the depth of Christ. I want to drink deep from the cup of blessing where the Spirit of the living God can be down into my heart. Father, I want to come to a place where every place I see that is weak, where the enemy infiltrates my life, where he make me get distracted, lose my focus, weaken me, when I need to take the initiative and step forward, I'm weak to act, I'm indecisive, I'm inefficient, incompetent. Where I need to be aggressive against the enemy, I want to see the aggression. Where I need to put my foot down and speak the truth in love, Lord, give me conviction. I don't want to be 200 pounds, 60, and they have an ounce of fight in me. I don't want to have 42 chests and 36 biceps and all these things and have an ounce of man inside me. I don't want to be full of brute. I want character. I want to be a godly woman, godly son, godly daughter. That's what you desire, my friend. Let him take you deeper today into his word of truth. and you could prove your love for Him. Oh, that I might be
ask Him, let it be a prayer as you climb up this service here today.
Into your word, you've heard the word of truth.
I believe those things, Lord, that's a little clearer today. I want to walk in the depths. I see the secret passages unfold on me. To stand in the place where I can truly display Jesus Christ, master every circumstance.
Oh, draw me from fear into faithfulness. Draw me from fear into faithfulness. Oh, leadership, Lord, lead me along. Lead me along your way. Oh, draw me from sin, from all this unbelief. Holy Lord, that I, little old me, might be a living praise. I hear that your power can transform, Lord. Let it transform me today. Take me to that veil where a dry old dead stick budded and brought forth fruit. Oh God, where I could come into resurrection life by the power of your Holy Spirit to prove my love for you. Deeper, deeper to the place where you are. Oh, draw me deeper and deeper that I may know your heart. Oh, I don't want this bitterness in me. Draw me from the hate, Lord. Oh, this resentful spirit into Jesus. Love overcoming all things and endeared all things from restlessness. Oh God, into your peace. Oh, in the time of this troubled storm, draw me from anger, Lord. Ache of prophesied till every storm in my life shall see. Oh, I'm coming, Jesus, draw me. Deeper, deeper into your word. Let my roots be planted deep. Oh my God, to prove my love for you, Jesus. Where I come in full obedience, it entitles me to the token. To the place where you are, draw me deeper and deeper. Oh God, I want to know your heart. Oh, sing it again. Draw me deeper, Lord. My heart aches. I can't stay here. I can't live in this place. I want to be close and drawn to you. Into your word of truth. Deeper and deeper to prove my love for you. Deeper. Take me on this surface. Let me launch out in the deep, Lord. Oh, draw me deeper than what I've known, Father. Come on, sister, draw me from fear. We don't have a spirit of fear and bondage. We have a spirit of love, of power, of sound mind, spirit of adoption. Oh, God, lead me along your way. I don't be caught in the influences of this world. Guide my feet, Lord. Draw me from sin. We see the abundance in every hand. Oh, that I might be a living praise. Oh, why don't you join in? Draw me deeper. Come on, brothers. Far and deeper. Into your word of truth.
God, in this testing time, let me prove my love for you, Father. And I'll say truth in this word. And I'll live by every word, Father. We got this. Come with me. In this test, final testing before the promise gate. And deeper. And I need no. Oh, come on, buddy. Draw me from the hate into charity. Draw me from hate into charity. From restlessness. From restlessness into your peace. Oh, draw me from anger. That's the first step in sanity. Till every storm. Every storm until all kick down to your feet as a son of God. Oh, draw me deeper. Deeper, deeper into your word of truth. Deeper, deeper to prove my love for you. The place where you are, and deeper, I need you. Oh, I want to be close and drawn to you and just sing that. If that's a desire, if that's what you feel today, you hear the word and you see the closeness, you feel the nearness. Bible says, let us draw near. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, that's the privilege of a priest, to have access into the presence of God and to know that by a new and living way He rent that veil, that we can come in boldness before the throne of grace. We can enter and live in His presence, friends. Bring a blessing out for our homes, for our family, for our children, for our wives, our husbands. Wives, do not say husband with a chaste conduct covering fear. Husbands, with unbelieving wives, sanctifying them, making the children holy, children. Oh my, possessing that mystery. Hallelujah! The bride and token of reverent faith. As you have seen right here, where the unsaved families are even coming in this hour. You see that place, you can draw near and enter in. And live there. Out of and into. Labor to enter into that rest. There's a promise left us of entering in. Redemption has two parts always. What is the book of Ephesians? Bringing in the call of ones and placing them positionally. Putting all things under their feet. That's what it is, friends. That everyone can occupy the place that God has given them a measure of the Holy Spirit. That they might reflect this great mystery of Christ. Oh, draw me closer. I want to be closer drawn. Close. That's how we feel. We don't want to follow afar off. We want to be right in His presence. Where these things will be with us when we go home. When we leave this service long after. When the trials and testing come. The word will be nigh thee, even thy mouth. You don't have to try to bring God down from above or bring Him from beneath. You'll be in union with that word. Oh, closer drawn to Thee. Is where I want to be. You feel that you've kind of lagged back in recent times. You feel you've kind of grown cold a little bit. You lost that fellowship with God you used to have. Wouldn't it be a good day to enter back into it? Look what happened in Jacob's home. You know what he did? He brought his house back to Bethel. He began to clean up and get a revival again. It was a call for a new consecration. Want to be close. It's more than a song to you right now. While the word is clear before you. While you see the place you ought to live in, how you ought to stand. If God would shine light, then you can see the way into that place. Won't you walk in it? What does it say? God wants to bring you into something more than you have right now, friends. Enter in. That's what Ephesians is, entering in. The second part of redemption. Oh, closer, 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 God. Is where I, Lord, I'm standing in that need today. I'm longing, Lord, for a deeper fellowship in this mystery. Like it's coming to Adam when he was in his lock, Lord. When you gave him a wife and sin couldn't stand between them, like a church at Pentecost. With you and me. Oh, sing it. Let's raise our hands and sing it to him one more time. Yes, Father. All in the mother's room around the building, wherever you are. As this service is coming to a close and the time is fading out, this is the moment to catch it. This is the moment to get real sincere while the Holy Spirit can answer back and say, yes, my child, I know your hunger and thirst. You shall be filled. I give the Holy Ghost to them that obey me. Of you. Teach me that way. Yahweh, oh Lord. I will walk in that truth that I've heard today. I will walk in, I've heard it, spoken love. Unite my heart, Father, to fear thy name. Teach me thy way. Let the inside teacher teach me long after this service is over. Lord, I purpose in my heart, I will walk in that truth. Just unite my heart, Lord, to fear thy name. Oh yes, I will praise thee, O Lord. Oh yes, I will praise thee, O Lord. My God, with all my heart. Hallelujah! My heart. Oh yes, I will glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Forevermore. For great is thy mercy. Great is the great day. This great mercy of God, you shall obtain mercy and find grace to help you in time of need. God knows what you have need of. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit today. God, show me a token. A token for good, Lord. Oh, how great. How great is that love today. You brought my path, Lord. Your word truly is a lamp of my feet. You ministered an entrance to bring me in it. Into the abundance of your everlasting kingdom. See and the orange. Oh, teach me. I want to learn, Jesus. Teach me. Oh, Lord. Oh, just worship him. In sincerity, let me pray. And if any of you want to like a come forward, I do that because I know that this world has to find many of you there. Some of you have let things happen in your homes, in your own life. Some of you have forgotten what you stand for in this church. You just treat things anyhow. You let them be bars and the devil got in your home. You won't stand, you won't apply the words you should. Some of you have young people, a spirit of rebellion getting you. Some of you men refuse to be men that you should be.
stand for principles with godly conviction. You compromise, you turn away. You're the wise to do everything. But this is a moment. This is the hour of deliverance. This is the hour God wants to put strength in you. As you come, making your way to the front, please don't come looking for a man to do something for you. A man cannot do nothing for you here. The man have done the part that the man can do. Let's preach the word to you. But you taking the engrafted word into your heart and coming now forward in the presence of God, saying, Father, you touch my heart. You convicted me. You show me I give up too easy. You show me I've got to stand with greater conviction. And that's why these things happen, because you're not pleased with me. I'm not handling my responsibilities as I ought to. I've become negligent. I've taken things for granted. I'll just let your word go anyhow, Father, because I realize that maybe I got a church spirit. I just go to church and sit in the benches. But I realize your word is talking something more than church today. It's talking about me, where I stand in my position and my portion. You have dealt every man. You say, I'm a young man, a young woman. I got a whole life to live. I can't surrender to the Lord. I want to still enjoy life in the world. That isn't life, friend. That is death. You don't want to do that. That's why God brings you into a service like this. So you can come and hear the word of God. That's why God brings you in the house of God. So you don't get some denominational entertainment. But you get the word of God from the Bible. To show the principle of how you should carry yourself. If God words to that, God can keep that word. God can give you strength that you need. Sometimes you need to stand in your own home. Most of you all are members of the assembly right here. And that's fine. That's mighty fine. Because this is the home. And you have children in the home. In this home, you know what we stand for. You know what we believe. You know we try to follow the word of God. That God has given us in this day to turn our hearts back. We want to stand for it. To make mistakes and fail is not beyond us. We'll do that tomorrow. Even after we pray here, next week we'll go and make more mistakes. But the thing of it is, when we do wrong, we get sincere. God correct us. We humble ourselves. We confess it. We say, Father, we are sorry. I can do better. I purpose in my heart. I want to go forward. I don't want to live in defeat. I don't want to be a compromiser. I want to stand with conviction. That's the way I want to be. And God will help you, because God will always hear sincere prayer. And you are children of the household. I have the minister standing here together with me. But you who are here in front, you are children of the household. And you can get it right here. Right where you believe. And you know you live here in this house. Just like many times the father and the mother come and call the children and say, children, we want to do such and such and such. You know, John, I told you that last week. Mary, what about this? You've been forgetting this. You've been negligent here. Husband, tell your wife, honey, you know, we need to set a better example. God wants to do something for us. Wife, want to cooperate, make time, and move in harmony. Well, the same way we do it in a natural home, here in the spiritual home, is the same way, friend. God wants to give us as His children something more than our yesterday. God knows where we are lacking. That's why He speaks a word to convict us in places, to shine light in areas. Because God is saying, look there, that's where your problem is. Your problem is not this. You're trying to deal with the effects. Look the cause here. Look the cause here. I call to be a man. I call to be a woman. I call to be a father and a mother. Look what the requirement is. What the standard is. And say, yes, Lord, I see it. I see it, Lord. But Lord, I want to walk in there. Help me. Today I mark this spot. I stand here. I come in conviction. I come in sincerity. Lord, I'm not looking to benefit. I'm looking to you, Father. I'm not expecting just a man to lay hands on me. But I'm coming in the sincerity of my heart. I'm saying, Lord, I heard your word. I believe your word. I recognize the truth. I want to come in conviction. I want to rededicate my life. I want to have a new consecration. I want to, you know, circumcise me. Lord, when I walk back there, let it be. Let the reproach be rolled away. Circumcise me now. As you bow your head, just lay your hands close to the ones that are close to you. You are children of the house. That's why I'm doing this. If I have strangers and visitors here, I do something different. And we have the ministers and deacons all in between here together with you too. We don't have to think of what people say. We are a church family here, walking in the light of this message. And our God, we know, is God. We don't have no creed and no dogma. We're standing on the principles of the Bible. And we're approaching God in faith, just like Abraham did, Isaac did, Jacob did, Moses did, Joseph did, David did, Joshua did. Same way, we are walking in those places. We saw it all manifest in this day when God sent a prophet and take us back to the Word. And when we see we go wrong, we need a house cleaner, we get the candle and the broom and we begin to sweep the cupboard. We find the lost coin. We get the defilement out of the house. We get the trash out of the house. We find everything lost so we can get out of condemnation and get to a place of rejoicing where we can truly be His victory, truly shine His light. And you in your heart, while you are here in the sincerity of your heart, don't get too emotional, but get into a place where you are sober in your mind. Father, I've done wrong. Father, I know I made mistakes. Father, and I come here before the platform many times to do the same thing. But dear God, I feel convicted. And the faith in my heart today tells me, if I come before you in sincerity, you will not turn me away. You would give to me that which I have need of. I hear your word and I want to be what I hear. I look in the mirror and I see myself, Father. I know I'm lacking in many things, but I don't want to just cover up my sin, because death covers the sin shall not prosper. But Lord, you can give deliverance. You are our Jephthah. You are called a bad name. You are rejected, but you became the head of the corner. You are the one who opened. You are the one who liberated. You are the deliverer. You are the one, dear God, who has a virgin daughter, a virgin church. Whose womb is going to be defiled? Who will be a living burnt offering? Totally separate from all unbelief. You are that one, Father. God, that's the very mystery of God. God so loved, He gave His Son in full sacrifice. He became our burnt offering. We want that kind of influence. We as fathers, as mothers, upon our children, godly influence. We want to have that kind of relationship that can exist, that not our human spirit, but the Holy Spirit can work through our revelation. Too many times it's just the human spirit that has no life, that has no power. But if God's Spirit can work through us, it'll bring a change always. Father, I stand with these, dear God, not just praying for them, but praying with them also. Because I too am standing in the need of prayer and recognizing that we are privileged that your presence would move like this today in your word, Father, and the Spirit can speak expressly and shine light in these things. Sometimes we'd approach this thinking it's so trivial, it's so simple, and Lord, we feel that we are coming without a message, and then sometimes you take it and make it so deep and take us and give us insight and open it up. And we realize that one word will tie the entire Bible together and show us how to live and how to walk. And while this word is opening up and the anointing is being released, and dear God, we are coming under conviction. We know it is messages like this that can shake us and scour us out and bring us to see our insides and take a dent in our lives. Lord God, that we can receive a circumcision and a washing by the washing of the water of the word. We can come to the water of separation, a thinking man filter. We can truly enter into a holy man taste and find a clear channel where we can come into a greater faith, a deeper consecration, a deeper sincerity, dear God, to walk closer to you in this hour, Father. Lord, where we want to be a prisoner, oh God, where we want to be a godly example unto all believers in all manner of conduct and conversation. Father, where we have done wrong, please forgive us, dear God. Blood or transgressions today, Father, where we have failed, oh God. Father, where we've been insincere, where, oh God, we've been hypocritical, where we've been negligent, oh God. Father God, we recognize, oh God, Father, in the hereditary things, oh God, Father, that we struggle with from day to day. Father, where we neglect and we open ourselves to the devil, we fail to apply the word, because there is still a desire and a lust in us, oh God, for the things of the world, and we don't make a stand as we should. Wash these things out of us, Lord. Cut us loose of these things, Father. Break every fetter today, oh God. May it truly open, oh God, the doors that will set us free. May it truly bring a liberation in our lives, oh God. May you be that true chapter, oh God, Father. Deliverance teach in every one of us, Father. Oh God, we can truly be a virgin and not a whore with a defiled womb, pregnant with all kinds of different seeds of pleasure and lust and the evils of this evil age, oh God.
but oh God, the bedding of faith can be pure and undefiled to bring forth the holy life of Jesus Christ, where we can live by the faith of the Son of God. And Father, this faith Christ can be revealed in and through us and be exhibited, oh God, where we can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. May you grant it, oh God, Father. Give strength to the fathers, give strength to the mothers, oh God. Give strength to the young men and the young women. Father, here are many of children standing here, and no doubt their needs are all different, and their sins are different, and their weaknesses are different, and their strengths are different. But we look to you, who can give to each and every one of us, oh God, who know what we have need of, and we come, oh God, drawing unto you, drawing near. You said if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Oh Jesus, as we as servants lay hands, Lord, the deacons lay hands, the congregation, oh God, stand in prayer, and together as a church family, pastor, officers, congregation, oh God, united, oh God, in one heart, in one mind, in one accord. Lord, in your word, under your divine influence, in your presence here, Father, oh God, resist the devil, Satan, you lying, deceiving, evil spirit from the bottomless pit, you who come to invade, to kill, to destroy, to deceive with your cunning sleight, with all your schemes and your evil, to trap the children of God. We rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. May you depart from these children. And oh God, Father, may the Holy Spirit, Lord, give strength to them, Lord, and may they be rooted and grounded. May they live in water, oh God. Lord, refresh them as you plant them by the rivers of living water, that they can grow up and the leaves shall not wither, oh God. They'll bring forth the fruit in due season. Almighty God, may you give the increase. May you deal everyone here the measure that is due them, oh God, Father. That the Lord can take that place, that the body can be fitly joined, compacted by the measure in every part. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I pray today, oh God, that Lord, there not one will walk back here with any doubt. But may you give the assurance, oh God. May you cut the faith in their heart. Even now, Jesus. Oh, to rise and claim these things, Father. And may your church go on forward. Lord, may you lead us in the way we should go. And the things we have need of. And oh God, the place where truly we can be under your influence completely. Grant it, Lord. And as we go, Father, may you make us sensitive. The Lord God, even though Satan may come on and try to make a second claim, Lord God, we'll stand with faith, the good man of the house, to drive that devil away, oh God. May, Lord, your word fortify us. The name of the Lord is your mighty tower. The righteous can run in and be safe. Oh, Father, keep us in this fellowship. Let us grow in your presence. Let it blossom and flourish. The Lord might live to your honor and to your glory. Even the strangers that visit us today, Lord, stand in the air. Oh God, I pray, Father, that these words will not leave them. It'll go deep down into their heart. We'll convict them. It'll cause them to search the scriptures. It'll cause them to see what the standard is and how we should live as Christians. To see, oh God, Father, that why organization of failure, why you have to send a prophet with a message to bring us back to the original faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That there could truly be an Ephesians in the last days. May you grant it, O God, as we leave this place. Take us in peace and safety. Watch over us, O God, as we've gone our way. Keep us under your holy influence and help us be an overcoming church. That we can work in harmony. Spirit of love and power of a strong mind can be among us. We can be in agreement, O God. Your spirit can flow freely, Father. In this hour, you see, it abound. Oh, may you grant it. Even this coming week, O God, as we prepare for the visit of our brother, Lord, coming from South Africa to be with us. Oh God, that we have a great time in your presence, and you give great blessing to strengthen your children, Father. Oh God, bless your people, bless every community represented here in the assembly. Bless, oh God, every family. Bless every individual, oh God. Let this blessing flow into the communities, into the regions, into the homes. And oh God, your people, Father, can enjoy it, continue to prosper, Lord, under your big mighty hand, even long after the service is dismissed, Father. Lord, when we come again another time, we'll come more strengthened. We'll come more fervent, oh God. We'll come in and see a greater unity, see a greater power and blessing of the Holy Spirit moving among us. May you grant it, oh God. We give you thanks, Father. We give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, I thank you for bringing the son back sick from Africa, Father, also. I thank you, O God, in the congregation of the saints. That you give you a blessing to the saints out there. And you bring him back, Father, to this place. bless him and strengthen him and lead him on, Father. Lord, in their full contributed life to be a real servant of yours in this hour, dear people. Grant it, O God, as we go, we commit each and every one to your mighty hands. Give it honor and glory to you today for your great visitation and your blessing, Father, and your deliverance and all you've done for your children, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. Blessing and praise and honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, isn't God good? Isn't he wonderful? Just raise your hand and give him praise. Give him glory around the building. Tell him you love him. Tell him you're willing to serve him. You're going to stand for his truth. You're going to be a real Christian this hour. And you fathers, you mothers, you young people, you hold in your heart the prayer of faith that we prayed over you. Amen. In agreement in the house of God upon the rock confession of this great revelation that have come to us. Amen. No, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Go on purpose in your heart. You'll stand true to this word. And may God bless you and prosper you and increase you in every good thing is our prayer. Amen. You may have a seat. Amen. So we want to